Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been looking at the theme of, in a dying world, living hope. That word living is not meant to be an adjective here, but a verb. How do you live your hope in a dying world? And today we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. The words that we are zeroing in on are, I'd like to zero in on verse 6. It says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." See if you can figure out what the following statements have in common. A leopard can't change his stripes. A rolling stone is worth two in the bush. Wake up and smell the music. It's like shooting monkeys in a barrel. Commonality through all those, they are all mixed metaphors. Now, it's funny. Well, I guess I should explain first. A metaphor is when you take something as an illustration to help better understand something else. Kind of like you could have said that Harmon Killebrew was a hammer of a hitter. Makes sense? So you take the illustration and it's meant to help you better understand the concept that you're trying to portray. But a metaphor becomes mixed when a speaker confuses common metaphors. And the funny part is that it's almost always unintentional. Kind of like mixing it's not rocket science with it's not brain surgery and getting it's not rocket surgery. It just doesn't quite work. These mixed metaphors make most of us grin and smile and make English teachers just cringe. Because it is not good English, and they're, as I say, they're almost always unintentional. But not today. As we look at Peter's first letter here, chapter 2, these verses, Peter offers some unusual metaphors, peculiar even, and we'll come back to that word a little bit later, metaphors that maybe seem, well, out of place, unusual, peculiar. Peter chooses his words carefully, though, under inspiration. And as he addresses believers both of the first century then and 21st century believers today, he gives us a comforting reminder that as God's special people living in this dying world, we can live our hope solid as a rock. And as we consider this special phrase here this morning, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We are looking at, in a dying world, living hope solid as a rock. And we start out as the Lord, through the Apostle Peter, begins. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. So Peter's first metaphor in this section has nothing to do with Christians at all. In fact, he is talking about the source of our faith, the thing, the person to which we hold. And he gives us this picture of Christ using a fairly common mixed metaphor. And I call it a mixed metaphor because he calls Jesus a living stone. I call no other stone living. You might find some lichens and some moss growing on a stone, but it's the moss that's living and it's not the stone. There is no such thing as a living stone, but this was common in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 28, the prophet writes, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." And then the second reference that's there is from Psalm 118 and describes Jesus as the capstone. And what it's talking about is that keystone that sits in an arch. You know, so they put the keystone in there and then as it pushes down, it pushes on all the rocks and you get this nice curved solid arch. But if you pull out that keystone, guess what? Everything comes crumbling down. And so in either case, Peter quotes these sections of the Old Testament because he wants to make the point that Christ is our cornerstone. He is our rock. He is the foundation of our faith. His word is straight and it is true. He is precious and priceless. He is worthy of our trust, and he will never let us down. Remove Christ from our lives, and we will collapse. Sadly, Peter knew people to whom this happened. That capstone, Jesus, had been rejected by the builders, the religious leaders of his day. Like we talked about on Palm Sunday, Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah that they wanted. And so they rejected him and they threw him away with all the other failed messiahs over the centuries. And they didn't receive him as who he was, Jesus the King. And so instead of accepting him and believing him, Jesus became for them a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. The problem is that this isn't like, you know, tripping on a stone out in the parking lot and you sort of catch yourself. I mean, this is the kind of thing where if you stumble over this rock, you are over the edge and you are plummeting to your death on the rocks below. Reject Jesus, and there is no life. There is only eternal death. And so as Peter talks about this with people who have been scattered far and wide, he wants them to understand that the one to whom they look, Jesus, that living stone, is the one. But that everyone who rejects Jesus receives that fate. And here's the thing. You and I are guilty of it too, aren't we? I know that maybe you have never said, "I reject Jesus." Never put those words together or shaken your fist like that. But it doesn't mean that we haven't tried to push him out of our lives, deny him when it's most convenient for us, try to figure out ways to say that, well, you know, Jesus, if you could just go for a walk for a little bit, then I can do what I want to do and I don't have to feel bad about it. That's all rejecting Jesus. It's all pushing him out of our lives. It's all being like Peter, who too denied his Lord and Savior. We too are dead in our transgressions and our sins, but not Jesus. Jesus is living. I mean, that's the message of Easter. That's the message of Peter. That's the message here that he's talking about that's so essential in this dying world, that Jesus is alive. He is the resurrection and the life, as he told the disciples. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the living stone. And he has been given to you and me, and in turn has given you and me life. Peter wrote, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Ever been called a blockhead? Well, whoever did it wasn't the first. In effect, this is what Peter is calling us as believers, blockheads. He said, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Each one of us, like bricks of a building, each one of us is a living stone, part of a spiritual house built for a purpose. Here's what Peter wrote. The purpose is to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, in order to better understand this picture and purpose, I'm going to try to review the Old Testament priesthood in 50 words or less. Okay, here goes. The priests came from the tribe of Levi. They didn't own any land, so they couldn't farm or raise cattle. So they performed all kinds of priestly duties, like leading worship, making sacrifices, but it all boiled down to this. The priests were the go-between between God and his people. 48 words if you were counting. But if what Peter is saying is true, this is revolutionary. Keep in mind that the people to which Peter was writing, they knew the priesthood and they knew the priest's role, and they knew that there was no going directly to God without them. And now here comes Peter and says, "Hey, guess what? You're a priest." Well, wait a second. Does that mean I don't need to have a priest to make the sacrifices and offer the prayers and make sure that I am separated from God? That's right. You're a priest as a believer. That means that you can go directly to your God. There's no waiting outside. There is no separation. You can go directly to him anytime, anywhere, with anything that's weighing on your heart. You can go to his word and hear him respond to you directly. And it's all through this that God has made you priests, special people. Because of Jesus, then, we can offer our very selves as living sacrifices. Because Jesus offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice, as that living stone. He has made us into living stones who can also offer sacrifices. And it is our very selves, everything that we are, our pocketbooks, our hands, our hearts, our lives, everything, and it's all acceptable to God. Because we're special people. A holy priesthood, created and commissioned to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing, special to God. Now, Peter describes this specialness by rattling off four more metaphors. He declares, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." We don't have to share the same bloodline as Jesus. We don't have to make a decision to believe in Jesus. We don't have to lie awake at night worrying or not if we are one of God's people, because we are his chosen people, declared by God to be his own, the word and water of holy baptism, kept and nourished in the faith through his very body and blood, in with and under the bread and the wine, and his very word that is written in our hearts and in our minds, and promise in his word that nothing, and I repeat, nothing, can separate us from God's love. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, reigning with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, now in our hearts and someday for eternity. We are a holy nation, gathered into a communion of saints, joined and purified by the blood of Christ. And I said we'd come back to this word, but the King James uses the word, we are peculiar. Now, I don't know any other situation which that is intended to be a compliment. Well, you're peculiar. But here, it is everything. We're different. And we realize that once we become part of God's family, that makes us different. We recognize the change that is made and how different we are from the world. How it influences and colors everything that we think and everything that we do. We are peculiar, but in the absolute best way, because we are God's prized possessions. In fact, he calls us the sheep of his pasture who will be with him in the place that he has prepared for us for eternity. And as we sang and read about earlier, we have his promise that when our good Lord and good shepherd is ready to bring us home, he will take us to be in that place where he is. And that makes us look at life differently. That makes us recognize ourselves as who God has made us to be. And let's be honest, it helps us appreciate metaphors too, all the more, huh? Yes, my dear Christians, you are special, because now you live your hope in him, solid as a rock, in the confidence that your life has been built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. Living stones who declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Christ is our cornerstone, and on him alone we build. Amen.